माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदनंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन व्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी। यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। Well, I haven't been teased for a girl in so much. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टेक्स्ट 82 तत्रैकाग्रमनाधीरो गोविंद चरणाम्बुजम् विमुक्त संगो नु भजन् भक्त्या तत् साम्यतामगात् तत्रैकाग्रमनाधीरो गोविंद चरणाम्बुजम् विमुक्त संगो नु भजन् भक्त्या तत् साम्यतामगात् तत्रैकाग्रमनाधीरो गोविंद चरणाम्बुजम् विमुक्त संगो नु भजन् भक्त्या तत् साम्यतामगात् गोविंद चरणाम्बुजम् Ladies, please. Tatra, there, Eka Agramanaha, with full attention, Dhira, sober, Govinda, of Krishna, Charana Ambujam, unto the lotus feet, Vimukta, freed from, Sangaha, material association, anubhajan, continuously engaging in devotional service, bhaktya, by pure devotion, tat, with the Lord, samyatam, qualitative equality, agat, achieved. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Having undergone austerities and penances at Kapilashrama, King Prachinabarhi attained full liberation from all material designations. He constantly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and attained a spiritual position qualitatively equal to that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. There is a special significance in the words Tat Samyatam Agat. The king attained the position of possessing the same status or the same form as that of the Lord. This definitely proves that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a person. In his impersonal feature, he is the rays of his transcendental body. When a living entity attains a spiritual perfection, he also attains the same type of body known as Sat-Chit-Ananda Vigraha. This spiritual body never mixes with the material elements. Although in conditional life, the living entity is surrounded by material elements, earth, water, fire, air, sky, mind, intelligence, and ego, he remains aloof from them. In other words, the living entity can be liberated from the material condition at any moment, provided that he wishes to do so. This material environment is called Maya. According to Krishna, Daivi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 14. As soon as the living entity engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he immediately attains freedom from all material conditions. So gunan samatitya etan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. In a material state, the living entity is on the jiva bhuta platform, but when he renders devotional service to the Lord, he is elevated to the brahma bhuta platform. On the Brahma-Bhuta platform, the living entity is liberated from material bondage and he engages in the service of the Lord. In this verse, the word dhira is sometimes read as vira. Actually, there is not much difference. The word dhira means sober and vira means hero. One who is struggling against Maya is a hero. And one who is sober enough to understand his position is a dhira. Without becoming sober or heroic, one cannot attain spiritual salvation. Om ajnana timirandasya jnananjana salakhaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamahyam dadati swapadantikam Vancha kalpaturu vyascha kripa sindhu vya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. We're near the end of this chapter. Two more verses and this chapter ends. First of all, I see some new faces, so welcome to this morning's Srimad Bhagavatam class. Nice to see all of you. And thank you for joining us. To me, this verse and the next few verses are extremely encouraging. They give me or the reader great hope. Usually when we hear stories of very great personalities like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, sometimes we feel that we can't relate to them. The situation might be relatable, but the person might not be. Well, I don't have a father like who tried to push me into boiling oil and trample me under elephants. Of course, last night we heard a few things and I'll narrate that as well. Maybe I should. But I want to say the punchline first. So we may not relate to the person per se, but in this particular pastime, we can all relate to Prachina Barhi, at least I can, very easily. He's an attached king. And he's not necessarily a very great personality, he's a pious man. And he has the great fortune of meeting a very fantastic personality, a sadhu, like Narada Muni. And by Narada's narrating him a story, an allegory, which he didn't understand, by the way. I mean, he was not even super bright in that sense. I mean, I hope somewhere King Prachina Barhi, who's the form of the Lord, doesn't, you know, hurt me or anything. It's just this pastime. He's not necessarily super brilliant about things. So Narada Muni has to explain the whole allegory in such detail to him that, you know, it's like the dummy's version. And he gets it. And from that association, we read in the past two verses, what he did. He took that association seriously, he took the instruction seriously, and voila, look at him. He has the same form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ooh. I mean, the power of sincere devotional service can take anybody from nobody to some very, very awesome position. So this verse, or this pastime, gives great hope. We may be very, very attached. I'm using the word may, but I'm sure you get the point. We are very attached. We're very, very attached. Each of us has a different kind of conception that strongly attaches us to this material world. It's interesting. Our attachments are noticeable by everyone except ourselves. Really? I don't know. You? But it's there. Each one of us has these nice tentacles that by which we're holding on to this material conception of life. And by the association of Narada, that is released. So since I brought it up last night, we were at a place, subdivision had a members meeting. It was an opportunity to eat, you know, all sorts of food, basically. So after the meeting, which I missed the real, I actually participated in the juicy part, the boring meeting part I missed, where they talked about how much money you have to pay now because something is broken, they're going to fix it, etc. I missed all that boring part. Then after a couple of drinks, some discussion started about being a teacher and how horrendous it is to be a teacher. And from there it went into, nowadays children are, wow, you know, these children are just, they use the word demoniac, or at least that's what they were saying. Which turned into, it's actually the parents' mistake. Which then went into, I'll tell you about my mom. So one of our members was speaking about his mother. So he grew up in a family where there were six siblings. And he said the teachers were so strict. These were some phrases I heard for the first time yesterday, so I might even say it wrong. He said the teachers used to paddle them. Okay, all of you are nodding, so I guess you understand what it is. So he said the teacher had holes in the paddle because the teacher said that way it is not, there's no resistance from the air. And so I used to get paddled. And they would get detention. And the only way they can come back to school is if the mother brought them back to school, which means the mother should know what happened. So he was narrating that when my mother knew, we'd go from school to my house, and we would cross my neighborhood, and all my neighborhood was my relatives or something. And they would all, as my mother would take me from school, she would be yelling, beating me, and all my relatives who were on in that block would come out and, you know, have their share and beat me up like anything till I was black and blue. And then my mother would take me home and put me in a bathtub, hot water with alcohol in it, and make me sit in that. And she would say, "My dear, I love you so much. I don't want you to get infected." I mean, just hearing that was like, wow, unbelievable. And so then they were narrating all their childhood stories of how strict their parents were. So we may not relate to that necessarily. We may not relate to Prahlad Maharaj necessarily. Although the difference was in their life, they were miserable. And this person kept saying, "I was abused, I was abused, I was abused." Then we read Prahlad Maharaj's story, and my God, was he abused like anything? I mean, the difference was Prahlad Maharaj was totally transcendental. He kept this smile on his face, which actually irritated Hiranyakashipu even more. So we can relate to Prachina Barhi's situation, that there is attachment. I mean, we can comfortably, is there nobody that can say, "I don't have an attachment"? There isn't a person like this. And if someone says, "Can you please tell me, is there any symptom by which I can know I have an attachment?" Yes, we call this material body. The attachment to enjoy, this enjoyment spirit, to say it differently, the pursuit of happiness within this material world is the indication of an attachment to a conception that in this world I can be happy. That's exactly Prachina Barhishad's situation. He's being very pious and all that is because he thinks he can be very happy in this material world. We may have different versions of it, but it's all very similar. And what makes the difference is good association, saintly association. By that saintly association, Prachina Barhishad's attachments became loosened. Because he was valuing that association. And one of the ways of valuing the association that we have is to follow the instructions of such a saintly person. It is not sufficient to say thank you and do nothing. That's not gratitude. The real expression of gratitude is to follow the instructions that Srila Prabhupada or our spiritual masters are giving. That gratitude is expressed in this form, tatra eka agramana, dhira. Eka agramana means with single-pointed attention. This single-pointed attention also means that other distractions did not influence the following of whatever instruction was given. Very similar, the language we are used to in Bhagavad Gita is Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. The Prabhupada says single-pointed attention. That is that the purpose of my life is to take good association, proper instruction, and make my life successful. And if there are other distractions, there are whatever that comes, the problems of life, the threefold miseries, you know, the pesky devotees. That's a joke. Devotees are not pesky, but these become real problems of life. We're not distracted by those things. Every situation is a great opportunity to look within as to what is it that Krishna might be addressing for me. That is called dhira, that's the next word, sober. Sober mind means considering. The opposite of sober is intoxicated, means bewildered. I saw a t-shirt yesterday that said, when I said I cleaned my room, I meant I made way between the door and my bed. Another t-shirt said, totally sober. This person is professing that he's sober, totally sober, but the letters are mixed up. Sober, the opposite of sober, is intoxicated. The intoxication of the material world is this hankering to enjoy material energy. It's intoxicating. There is a high in it, no doubt. But that high is distracting. Material energy, the happiness in this world from material things definitely gives us a high. The money, the different things like sex indulgence, money, great knowledge or learning, beauty, great praise from worldly people. This is extremely intoxicating. And in that intoxication, one thinks, ah, this is the goal of life. A sober person, on the other hand, says, oh, this is not for me. The dhira is to be able to consider, think with a clear head. Like we say, hey, think with a clear mind. It's to think with a clear mind. And mind cannot be clear without good instruction. If we wait for our mind to become clear one day, then we shall be waiting forever. The only way a mind becomes clear is through good instruction. Prabhupada says this in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that a mind can only become purified if it has a clear purpose. Or he says it the other way, lack of a purpose for the mind keeps the mind agitated. And we cannot come up on our own with perfect instruction. We have tried it. It doesn't work. We need someone to give us good instruction. And it is that good instruction or instructions that help clear the mind, to purify the mind. What is the good instruction? Govinda Charanam Bhujam. That the purpose of life is to approach the lotus feet of Govinda. It is interesting. Govinda means the giver of pleasure to the senses. After all, that's what we're looking for. But we're looking for it in different places, in the wrong places. We're looking for our senses to become pleasured or pleasurable in the material realm. And that is not Govinda. Krishna is. That's the real place, or he is the real person that can fully enliven our senses. Govinda Charanam Bhujam, to be situated at his lotus feet. The consequence of that is Vimukta Sangha. Vimukta Sangha means completely freed of all designations. Designations is an attachment. Same, different words, but same meaning. I look at the world with a particular designation because I'm attached to that designation. I am Indian, I'm male, I am educated, I am like this, I am like that. That's how I look at the world. And that designation is what causes me to forget who I am. It causes me to become intoxicated by something other than my real identity. Therefore, I'm not dhira. The same word dhira appears in the very first instruction of Bhagavad Gita, Dehinosmin yatha dehe. Kaumaram yavanam jara. Tatha dehantara prapti dhira statra namuhyati. A dhira is namuhyati, is not bewildered. So when we are bewildered, we're not dhira. That bewildering comes from false designation, from bodily conception of life. Vimukta sango, and the process for becoming completely free from all these designations is anubhajan. Anubhajan is not weekly attendance at the temple or attending the Sunday feast and saying, I've become a devotee. Anubhajan means every day. Here, Prabhupada translates as constant devotional service. Every day means every moment of the day. So we follow a prescribed process, a methodology that Srila Prabhupada has given us that includes all the different variations and aspects of devotional service from morning till night. That is called anubhajan. Another connotation of the word anu means to follow. Anubhajan means to follow prescribed method of the acharyas. We call it sadhana bhakti. Krishna anushilana. Anushilana means cultivation under the guidance of a pure devotee. So anubhajan. Bhaktya. Bhaktya is the internal aspect. I'm not just following the rigor, I'm not following the do's and the don'ts mechanically, but I'm following it bhaktya, with a loving heart. Tat samyatam agat. This is the most important phrase, Prabhupada says in the purport, begins like that. Tat samyatam agat. He achieved the same position, qualitative oneness with the Supreme. Lovingly executing devotional service constantly with a fixed mind and intelligence, mind fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna, is the pill, it's the magic pill for achieving our goal of life. What are the obstacles that we face during that is given by this verse in Bhagavad Gita. Daivi hi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. So if one of the obstacles is to think that I can do this on my own. Another obstacle is to give up our determination to achieve perfection. That, it's too difficult. That's another obstacle. Another obstacle, there are many, I'm just giving a few as an example. Another obstacle is to hold on to our conceptions that there is no happiness in devotional life because it's too grinding, it's difficult. Another obstacle is to become morose or lamenting during anartha nivritti. That's an obstacle. Oh, my anarthas are too big. This is not for me. Because then that means that we are approaching the whole path of devotional life with the wrong idea. The idea is, mam eva ye prapadyante. That's the idea. That whatever is the obstacle, that our attention goes to Krishna. My dear Krishna. When I look at myself, I find myself thoroughly unqualified. When I look at my capacity, I feel completely incapacitated. When I look at my determination and strength to make it to the final destination, I find myself weak. But you are very, very merciful. Please accept me at your lotus feet. Please guide me. My determination is that I will follow your guidance. My determination is that I want this relationship. Whatever it is, whatever is the challenge, I want this relationship with Krishna. Because after many, 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 many lifetimes, I've somehow or the other had this great opportunity to come. And I don't want to lose this at whatever cost. So whatever it takes, I'm willing. Whatever it takes. I may have to swallow a humble pie. What's it called? The phrase is what? Eating humble pie? Don't swallow it. You eat it. Whatever it takes. This is my commitment in my life. This is determination. Swallowing humble pie. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, that would be a big one to swallow. So that is the Maam Eva Ye Prapadyante. And Prabhupada says we can understand then a distinction between who we are and the coverings that bewilder us. The coverings of the body, the coverings of the mind, the coverings of intelligence and false ego. The covering of the gross body makes us think, I am this gross body. I'm thinking like an Indian man, I'm thinking like an American man, I'm thinking like a brahmachari, I'm thinking like a grihastha, like that. The covering of the mind binds us with the idea of I'm not happy, I am happy, I'm very, I'm terrible, I am something like this. Whatever is the conception in the mind. Another is, no one loves me, like that. The coverings of the intelligence bewilders us in thinking, I can never figure anything out. Or I can figure everything out. I know how to take care of it. I know how to do it. I know it. And the false ego is the real culprit. That false ego is that I am looking for happiness outside of Krishna. It is not so conscious. It works so subconsciously at such a subtle level that we may not be thinking, oh, I want to enjoy separate from Krishna. But we are habituated to that. That's the problem with false ego. It has habituated us, it has conditioned us to such a degree that we consider devotional life as the artificial life. Oh, I have to give up something in order to become a devotee of Krishna? The answer is we are devotees of Krishna. We've picked up something artificial. This is natural. Everything else is artificial. But we are looking at it from a different view. We're looking at it from a different stance. We're so habituated. From here, everything looks artificial. Just as, here's a quote by Narada Muni. I forget which canto and verse. You all know what's a whirlpool, right? A whirlpool has water at different, circumferences converging into a vortex, correct? Someone who's in the middle of the whirlpool sees everything else around him turn, right? But if you are on the edge of the whirlpool, then for you, everything else is turning. You understand? Well, suppose you're here, you see everything going like this. But if you're here, you will even see the center go like this. So it's a matter of where you are. So Narada Muni is describing that each one of us, because we're in this massive ocean of material existence, from our vantage point, everything looks justifiable. Everything looks, yeah, that's correct. That's how it is. And from another person's vantage point, it looks exactly the way they're looking at it. And that seems right too. And for a person who's outside of the material ocean, for them both look bewildered. Because it's all relative. And in the relative realm, there is nothing called right or wrong. Both are right, and by the way, both are wrong. Because it's relative. Then Prabhupada said, sometimes, instead of the word dhira, the word vira is used. Dhira means sober, and vira means hero. Who's the real hero? Superman? Imaginary. Is the hero the great leaders of the world who fought great wars or who gave great speeches? No. According to Bhagavatam, real vira is as one who is struggling against Maya. Is a hero. He didn't even say one who has surpassed Maya. He said one who's struggling against Maya. So this is Krishna's view. Because an Acharya is speaking, Acharyas have Krishna's view. Krishna considers us a hero if we even just try to struggle with Maya. Struggle with Maya doesn't mean go out and see how much we can flirt with her. That's not the struggle. The struggle is how much we are trying from our side to not indulge. That's the struggle. Krishna is not looking for perfection. Krishna is looking for an endeavor for perfection. He's not looking for us to really be this hero. He's just looking for us to try to be a hero. And for him, that's hero. Just try. Make an effort. Show sincerely that we're trying our best to serve Krishna. And that's all Krishna cares about. Everything else he takes care. So Prabhupada is saying a vira, a hero, I'll read this again. They said this verse is great hope. One who is struggling against Maya is a hero. And one who is sober enough to understand his position is a dhira. And these two go together. Oh, I'm in such a precarious position. Maya, or this material energy, can very quickly bewilder me. This is called dhira. And therefore I should not be anywhere in the neighborhood of Maya Devi. Is a vira. The vira tendency, the heroic tendency is expressed, or quality is expressed by our daily execution of sadhana. Very sincerely, you know, body may not cooperate, the mind usually doesn't cooperate, but doesn't matter. We wake up. We attend the Mangalarati, we attend the chanting of Japa, we attend Bhagavatam class. Whatever is going on in our lives, you know, we may be facing massive problems, financial problems, mental problems, relationship problems, whatever is going on. When we stick to the program Prabhupada has given us, this is real heroism. And that's what Krishna is looking at. That yes, this person is sincere to want me. Anyway, I'm speaking for encouraging myself, so think of it that way, because I said this verse is extremely, extremely encouraging. So those are some thoughts. Any comments? Anyone would like to add anything? Or ask? Yes, Girish? Yeah, both are not different. Endeavor for perfection means I'm aware that I'm attached or I have limitations. I'm aware of it. I'm aware that I have. I may not be aware of what all I have. However, I'm showing Krishna that I'm genuine about my relationship with him. I may not be at the perfect stage, but that's not what Krishna is looking for anyway. In the conception of things from a loving perspective, Krishna is not a cruel master. Krishna is a very loving master. So that sentence, even if there's a tinge of material desire at the time of death, I haven't heard it like that. I've heard that, you know, it's like if I'm on my deathbed and I look at a fly and somehow I'm thinking about Krishna and I consider, oh, there's a fly in the room. It doesn't mean I become a fly in my next life. It doesn't mean like that. Oh, you know what? You were doing perfectly well, all the, you know, you were chanting the bhajans, everything was just fine, and that little fly really messed it up for you. I mean, Krishna would be really cruel. It doesn't work like that. The material desire, if we hold on to, still somewhere, Krishna, maybe in this world there is happiness that I haven't really figured out yet, then yes, we get another opportunity. And even if we are holding on to something, because of the great benediction of the association of Vaishnavas, we will be reminded of our real purpose at the time of our death. That much Krishna will give. I don't mean to use this as a wrong example, but let's take Bhakta Jerry's situation recently. Okay. Whatever life presented to him, he went in a particular direction. But for whatever service he has rendered, at the critical moment, devotee showed up in his life. I mean, isn't that fantastic? Isn't that the kindness of how kind Krishna is, that even for someone who at some point in time rendered some service and then did something else and whatever, Krishna made sure that some devotee was there. Isn't that encouraging? That's amazing. Then what to speak of a person like him here in this situation? Anubhajan. Fixed. Doing. Fixed is not like pure devotee fixed, but fixed that, yes, this is what I want in my life. I think Krishna will do whatever is necessary to help. We have to see it as a very loving exchange. It's not like this hard master that says, ah, you made it 99%, but that one... Krishna is very encouraging. Does that answer your question? Ashray wants to add something?
I don't know if I'm going to add anything. No, it's just like the point that you're making is very clear. That it's not like Krishna's a vending machine, one way or the other. You put in the right amount of coins and you get the goal, and you don't put in the right amount of coins and you don't get the goal. It's not like that. Either way. Prabhupada uses the language, if you just happen to think of the wrong thing at the time of death, then you will get material body. But your point is very clear. The thing I was thinking in all of that is that we have to be honest. Do I really want a relationship with Krishna, or am I just like doing activities every day and I'm thinking that that means I'm going to go back to Godhead? So if we're honest internally, then this question is not really so important. It's more of like trusting, like you're, I think, trying to encourage us that Krishna, if he sees that we're sincere, although our shortcomings are there, he'll help us to move forward. It's not so much of a calculation like how much percentage is left to clean off and then I'll get to go or something like that. I'm just expressing my...
We're all operating, in one sense, on the basis that ultimately it is Krishna's mercy that's going to help us. So Balaram Prabhu narrated a story of how life works. It was very nice joke, I think, or story, however. There was a person who wanted to go to heaven. So somehow he forced his way and showed up at the gates. And so Saint Peter, I guess, opened the door and said, "Well, we can't let you in. Tell us, you know, what you've done, that by which we can grade your practices to say whether you can come into heaven or not." So this person said, "I went to church every week of my life. I never missed a Sunday." And so Saint Peter said to him, "You need a total of 100 points to get in." So he said, "All right, I went to church every week of my life. I never missed a Sunday from the time I was born till the time I was dead." So Saint Peter said, "All right, we'll give you 1 point for it." He said, "I said my prayers every day. I didn't miss a day. I never missed a day of saying prayers. I did whatever the hymns I had to sing, songs that I offered prayers every day." "All right, we'll give you 2 points. Then he said, "I gave in charity. Whatever I earned, I gave as charity." So he said, "All right, we'll give you another point." Then this person said, "Oh, I've searched through my whole life. I can't find anything else. And I'm only 5 points. I need 95 more points. I don't know what else. I've done this, I've done that, I've given in charity, I've chanted my prayers, you know, I followed everything. And still five. I need 95 more points." So Saint Peter said, "Yeah, so tell me more." He said, "At this rate, it is only God's mercy that can let me in." He said, "You got the other 95, you can come in." That means our effort in by itself is very minuscule. We're hoping, that's our whole aspiration, that by my execution of devotional service, my dear Krishna, that you become very merciful upon me and take me. That's my hope. That's what the acharyas have told me. That your mercy is so intense and significant that without that, what can I do? What is the perfection that I can show you anyway? I'm so tiny. So our 5 points is, you know, we chant our japa every day, we follow the rules, we do all of that. That's to attract Krishna's attention and mercy. Rest, everything is, Krishna has to reach out. On our own, by our own effort, we can't make it. That's not the path anyway. Okay, anything else? Ashray?
The thing that I was thinking for myself when I was hearing the class is that just like you were saying, and just like his question kind of, or you were saying, it's like the following the good instructions to worship Krishna and consistently doing that every day and all of that, it's just like showing that we're sincere.
Right.
But then the other, but really, I mean, unless something, unless somehow our heart gets connected to serving Krishna, that's just not going to do it. So what is it? So my understanding is that based on like 10th chapter Bhagavad Gita, you know, Krishna gives you some understanding how you can really connect like that if you're showing the sincerity in that way. And that's the thing that we have to like really grab onto. That's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm thinking. We have to be looking for that. That's the question I was going to ask, is that, I mean, isn't that the thing that we should really be somehow seeking? You know, that where is my heart? Where can I put my heart into this thing?
That's in this verse.
Bhaktya.
Bhaktya.
Yeah, but it may not be like I'm really feeling like I love Krishna and all of that. Oh. You know, there's some aspect of
our expression of bhaktya in the sadhana bhakti stage is not I love Krishna. It is I love the devotees. I love the process of devotional service. I love Mahaprasadam. And I'm happily, gratefully serving. That's bhaktya. Which, according to Lord Kapila, develops into Shraddha, Ratir, Bhaktir, Anukramishyati. That Anukramishyati means it develops systematically. So the first expression of bhaktya is Shraddha, that I have faith. I have faith that this is the path. Whatever is the difficulty, whatever is the challenge, this is the path. That is Shraddha. Ratir is I'm attached to devotional service. I'm attached to the devotees. I'm attached to Krishna. Bhakti, I love. Love then awakens from that. The first symptom of love is faith. So that's how it develops.
That bhaktya, like you're saying. So that I think it says yes to my question, that we have to see where we can, like you gave these simple examples like prasadam or the process or something. Where can we put our heart into this thing and that will grow it from there? It's like if I want to ignore where my heart is because that's lower and I want to do something very high, then it's like kind of pretentious. And I mean, it may be sincere, but it may also not be realistic. So how do we...
The most important is not that I have this or that, but my heart is with the person. That's where it is. It's a whole about being connected to a person or connected to persons. The acharyas, Prabhupada, Guru, the devotees. That's where it is. That's the gold mine. Everything else manifests from that. I can be very attached to prasadam, but not to a person. I won't make it. Or that will bring me to a person, but that's where it all comes. Prabhupada uses in this purport, to tell us Krishna is always a person. Everything we do is connected to a person. Recently, Ramapad Maharaj was sharing that he was traveling on a flight back from Hong Kong. It was a 16-hour flight. And on that flight, everyone else was watching movies, drinking something, eating something, and falling asleep. He was the one who was sitting up, and he was working the entire 16 hours. So the flight attendant came and said, "Excuse me, sir, would you like to eat something?" He said, "No, I'm okay, thank you." I mean, those of us who know Ramapad Maharaj, we can fully picture that. Then she came back after some hours and said, "Would you like to drink something?" He said, "No, thank you, I'm all right, I'm taken care of." Then some hours later, everyone else was sleeping, he was the one who was working. She said, "My gosh, I've seen so many people travel, and I've seen so many people work. But I haven't seen anyone like you. Whatever you're attached to, whatever you're doing this for, must be really something." So he corrected it. He said, "It's not whatever, it is for who I am doing this." It's not for what, it's for who. I don't think she got it. She said, oh, something. But the message was for who? For Prabhupada. That's the driving factor. It is for someone. That for someone is I started the discussion today with gratitude. That's what is driving us. That's what should be driving us. We have received the tiny encouragement of bhakti from a devotee. That's what is our real nourisher.
It's past 8:30,
that's why I'm hoping we'll stop here. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ishta Goshti downstairs for temple devotees in like 30 seconds, we'll get there.